This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 102.7 in Gauteng and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Well, yesterday I attended the launch announcement at the JSC of Labatt's pivot into the cannabis business, a greenfields investment, if ever there was one. Is it a banker? Well, we'll have to wait and see. There's clearly lots of interest in the budding industry. Many have high expectations for cushy jobs. Let's just hope the government plans aren't half-baked. We might end up putting further strain on the economy. Seriously, though, have we hit the jackpot? Okay, I'm going to stop now. This is what MD of Labatt Cannabis, Mike Stringer, had to say.
My background, well, where do you want to start? You know, I'll tell you the bad parts first. The bad parts is I made a lady pregnant at the age of 18 and I had to get married. I started working at Fine Chemicals as a cleaner, earning 53 rand a week. And 20 years later, I became the CEO of the company. It was a journey of educating myself and obviously working hard. And I ended up doing my MBA in the UK. I did various leadership courses. But the biggest education for me has been people. You have to interact with people to get educated in business. And that has been my best learning curve. I think if you look back at Fine Chemicals today is probably in the top three API companies in the world. And I can gladly say I was part of that process. I've been out of Fine Chemicals for 8 years, but I can happily say without feeling any guilt that I've helped put Fine Chemicals on the world map.
And that was a division of Aspen Pharma, and you spent some time working in China as well, which has not a budding market, a very well-developed market.
Well, the Chinese cannabis, marijuana, is illegal in China, but they're the biggest producers of industrial hemp, and they produce all the plastic-based products now, and they supply the motor vehicle industry, and they're making hundreds of billions out of this industry, and we haven't taken advantage of it.
And that's the nub of the issue here, Michael, the fact that we have an automotive industry development program. We support our automotive industry, yet we import the hemp that is used in the paneling and some of the Mercedes and the BMWs that we manufacture. So let's take it right back to the beginning in terms of the strategy for Labatt and where you see the real opportunities for both hemp and marijuana and the entire cannabis value chain.
Look, from a, let's call it cannabis marijuana point of view, we have a short-term strategy there. And the short-term strategy is over the next 5 years is to come out with genetics that is world-class. That is your plus 30% THC levels. And we're going to hit that market. We're going to make a hell of a lot of money out of that market. And that money will be used to fund our pharmaceutical operations. That's our passion, and that's my passion personally. And that's the business's vision, because it is a sustainable business model. So the cash generated from being pot dealers, literally, and creating, like I said to you earlier on, will probably create hundreds of millions of profits per year doing this business. Our key responsibility is also to get involved in industrial hemp. Industrial hemp, to me, is a game changer in this country and the world, in this country especially, because we have thousands of farmers or black emerging farmers that are expecting land from our government, and they really don't know what to grow there. The easiest thing in the world to grow is industrial hemp. It is easy to grow it. And to train these people to grow it won't be as big an effort to train them to grow any other crop on the planet. Your profitability out of industrial hemp is significantly higher than wheat, for instance. So as far as I'm concerned, it is our vision to get to a point where we encourage black farmers to grow hemp, and we will be their buyer. We will buy all the hemp. And there will be many of us along the way that will utilize the hemp. We'll use it for medicinal purposes. Like I said earlier on, there's four main raw materials in industrial hemp. And the two that we're interested is the seed for hemp seed oil. Hemp seed oil has the best range of omega-2s, 3s and 6s. It's got the best combination, and it's got all 8 enzymes present in it. Plus, on top of that, it contains 35% protein. It is far superior to any omega product on the market, and we are looking, like I said to you earlier on, we're looking to replace the normal omega fish oils with this product, and that's a significant market. So We are looking at backward integrating, forward integrating into various aspects, supplying raw materials. Like I said, the four raw materials out of hemp, we're interested in two. The other two will go into your plastics industry, into your clothing industry, and into your construction industry as well.
And we know that hemp fiber is amongst the strongest in the world. If you compare it with cotton, it's resilient. We have some of the best climate for growing it in the world. So it really does seem a no-brainer when you look at the fact that Lesotho is almost streets ahead of us, but you've then got to truck it overland to get it to export markets. Within the regulation of hemp, and obviously the Constitutional Court judgment for personal consumption of marijuana at home certainly brought the attention and the focus to marijuana in particular. What do we still need to see from the South African government from a regulatory perspective to allow this industry to blossom and thrive?
I think the important thing is that, firstly, we need to separate the two. Marijuana from industrial hemp. Both are cannabis family plants. We need to separate the two clearly. There are two different industries at play. The one industry is for the pharmaceutical medical purpose business, and that is a very, very expensive business to get involved in. Small amount of people are going to get involved in that business in this country and worldwide too. The big opportunity with marijuana is the use for, let's call it recreational use. It's really medical use, but it's called recreational use. That's your biggest market. So from a South African point of view, they are legitimizing that and making sure that the regulations ensures the people who's going to grow it are responsible and the regulations supports them 100%. So from that perspective, I'm confident our government will come up with very, very good regulations. If you look at the other part of the cannabis plant, let's call it your cannabis sativa, your industrial hemp. Industrial hemp has got no THC in, nothing to be worried about, nothing that's going to psychoactively affect a human being. Yeah. So my vision is to see us turn industrial hemp into the future gold. We can employ millions of people in this industry, millions of people. This government has been battling to employ 500,000 over the last 8 years, over the, let's call it the last nine years. We have probably fired more people or retrenched more people than we've employed. Industrial hemp is the future. Let's get those criminals off the streets and get them into a job and stop the crime in this country. And that's the only way you're going to do that, is to provide jobs for these people. And I'm not saying let's create subsistence farmers. Let's create cooperatives, clever cooperatives, to ensure that instead of becoming subsistence farmers, they can sit back on their little hill, on their porch and enjoy life as well.
Now, you picked up or acquired some assets recently to further the strategies. Talk to me about those acquisitions, some in Lesotho, some down in KZN.
Yeah, what we've done is, obviously, to us, your cash cows, your export of marijuana with high THC levels. We've acquired a company called Knuckle Genetics. This guy has been growing various genetics now for the last 15 years, and he's come up with some serious strains. I showed you the results. We're talking about, at a first go, we are getting 31% THC. Our target is to get it over 40% THC. That will probably, 40% THC will probably, we'll get away with the pricing in the region of about $30, $40 a gram. And at the moment, the wholesale average price for your low THC quantity sits at about $4, $5 a gram. So we're talking serious money, and that's the area that we are going to play in, is that particular area. So we've acquired a company that has the technology. The technology sits with an individual in his head. He's transferred all of this information onto paperwork, which we will then patent. We're not ready yet because we're doing some additional testing. We want to get to the 40% mark. Once we've registered that seed and the process of under which it grows best, to achieve that consistently, we will patent it. And that intrinsic value of that patent could be worth hundreds of millions of rands, let alone the product that we generate from it. So we've acquired Knuckle Genetics. We've acquired a couple of permits out in Lesotho from reputable people. We had to separate the bad from the good. And there's a lot of people pretending to have permits, and they got the permits illegally or in ways that's not congruent to good corporate governance. So we've done our due diligences on these people, and we believe we now have access to a market. We've already got some containers there where we're growing some of our seeds. hibernating some of our, I'm not sure what they call it, but they're mothering it or whatever you want to call it. But so we've acquired that. Then we're gonna invest in initially in a 30 million rand greenhouse out in Lesotho. Then here in South Africa, in KwaZulu-Natal, we've acquired a company called Pacon. Pacon is a 7,000 square meter facility. Well, that includes the land at 5,000 square meters in manufacturing space. And like I said earlier on, they probably utilized under 20%. So we will be sticking in some equipment into the facility to try and hit the ground running in terms of CBD oils, focus on CBD oils for the CAMS market, the complementary medicines market, and then with a vision of creating a greenfields facility there that is going to focus on the pharmaceutical market in the future. And then we'll also be acquiring a processing plant. This particular piece of equipment costs in excess of 70 million rand. Not every farmer is going to spend that amount of money, and hence the cooperative agreement that we'll have with them is to separate the raw materials for them, and they can sell it onto the various industries at significant profits.
Michael, capital intensive in the early phases of the strategy. How are you planning on funding this?
Well, that's the interesting part. We've got investors lined up at the moment. So we've got ways to fund it through investment, people taking ownership in our business and trading it out for cash investment in the company. We're certain that the share price is going to generate significant growth, and that will generate interest for further investment. In all likelihood, we will probably not borrow money, and that's where we want to be. If you look at the companies across the world, especially in South Africa, they're all debt-ridden companies. If worst-case scenario, if we were to borrow money, the return on investment is under a year. Not any business in this country can go to the bank and say, borrow me half a billion and I'll pay you back in a year's time. We can do that, and we have the potential to do that. So we've got our options open, which is great.
That was MD of Labatt Cannabis, Mike Stringer. Well, Anthony Clark is the country's foremost small cap in food and agri sector analyst. I guess you're going to pot two then, and how are you doing?
Yeah, perfect. I think I listened to that conversation, and whilst the sector remains very interesting, and my dear friend Wandile Zahova, the country's leading agricultural economist, thinks that the sector could have significant legs going forward, I must say, I think the narrative that the speaker was talking about is a little bit aggressive and a little bit too much blue smoke for my liking. You know, yes, the potential is significant in that market. But let's not forget that legislation for personal consumption in this country has only just happened. And internationally, cannabis and marijuana stocks were very hot in 2018. And, you know, for example, there's one Canopy Growth went from $2 to $50 in a matter of months and then crashed back again, as most of the stocks did. I think Labatt, given its track record as being in a number of disparate areas which hasn't done quite well, has jumped on a very interesting bandwagon. I wish them well. But the 38 million rand we're looking to raise from the capital placement at the premium won't exactly go that far. Just as an example, the Wall Street Journal estimates that the U.S. market is worth $12 billion currently in legal marijuana, with a capital spend so far this year by the listed marijuana companies of $9 billion. So it's a major capital-intensive business. But as a number of leading experts in this country say, it could be a great job creator, and hopefully a great tax earner.
Yeah, and we certainly need both of those in spades at the moment. The moat for a cannabis business, certainly on the recreational side, if it does get legalized fully or decriminalized, that's always been suspect for me, because it's very easy to grow.
Absolutely. I'm looking here at some World Health Organization statistics, and they state that South Africa is the third largest dacha grower in the world. Of course, most of it now is illegal, or hobby farmers. You know, the land in the Eastern Cape and Natal is ideal for the cultivation of this crop. So in theory, going forward, if this were to be legalized, and the government were to come out and actually have marijuana as a good subsistent cash crop in the agricultural sector, you know, it could be a significant producer of not just jobs, but revenue and export earnings. So, you know, they say the current market is worth $1.2 billion in this country, which I would bet is pretty much mostly illegal currency.
Yeah, down in KZN primarily. We're going to have to invite your friend Wandile Sehlobo to a panel with yourself in the not-too-distant future where we can look at some of those interesting dynamics purely from an agricultural perspective. Anthony Clark, small to medium cap analyst at Small Talk Daily. Go and follow him on Twitter. And he's Jack Russell Yaffe, a great Twitter account that. And that's also a wrap from the Classic Business Team tonight. Saan Mohammed is in the Jazz Lounge in Cape Town, and in Gauteng, Carolyn Steyn up next with Winding Down. Good night.